to have some sunshine. Amen? Man, I love the rain, but it's definitely consistent. It's nice to have a break every now and then. It is good to have the sun back on us, a little bit of warmer weather before we get fully into our return. Amen. Oh, it's been a long week. I'm so glad to be here Sunday. So, like clockwork, my kids couldn't sleep. I can't sleep because I got to teach. Amen. That's just the way it goes. That's all right. So this morning we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 as the focus verse. And it says, "For we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Today we're going to be looking at the slaves can be delivered. Right here, this verse is essential that if we hold on to Christ, everything's going to be okay. That is all you have to do. That is your ability. The confidence you had in the beginning. Remember when you first got the Holy Ghost. Remember the awe that came in and the wonder when you spoke in tongues and all of a sudden your spirit was awakened to the fact that He's actually real. And for the first time, you feel the touch of Him. You have to hold on to that to the end. Nothing else is going to make it there. If you could make it by yourself, it would be repent and be baptized. He wouldn't need to lead you. This walk is so challenging with the enemy that he has to come and shepherd you to the end. Your confidence is not in you. Your confidence is who's walking with you. Slavery is without a doubt one of the greatest evils that's ever faced mankind. When we talk about sin, there are things that are just atrocious. I would rank slavery up there with anything. And the problem with slavery is it's not over. I looked up the census, 196 countries. 95 of them, you are legally allowed to own someone. Right now, the last census I can find on the Global Slavery Index, taken in 2017, says that there, at that time, was 46 million active slaves in the world. To give perspective, that's about 1 in 10 Americans. Now, for slavery, they take conscripts, where you are forced into the army. They take sex workers, where you are forced into the sex trade. And labor camps. I think we should just call it what it is. It's a prison plantation. I think people would understand a lot better if we quit trying to dress it up. Over half the slaves are held by 5 countries. India being the biggest purveyor of it. North Korea has the greatest per capita with over 10%. Slavery is so atrocious that in a world that declares there's no absolute truth, declares that's wrong. I don't hear anybody debating. Oh, well, no, it was okay. No, it wasn't. And it's still not. There is something inherently evil about owning another human being and for every purpose to exploit them until their dying breath. To claim them from the moment they are born and to say, you are mine to use as I see fit. But if we will look at slavery in the physical and be disgusted by it, how much more so should we look at it in the spiritual? When we're sitting here, we know that there is a God. We know that He is real. We know that He is a breaker of chains. We know that He has put all things underneath His feet. And yet, I can get into a place where I become convenient to seeing slavery in the everyday world because I don't see the chains. There's a quote that says, the worst kind of prison is a prison without walls that teaches its slaves to love its bondage and master. The Bible declares men love darkness rather than light. Now, when we look at this, I have been with God now for going on 10 years. Almost 10 years this December. If I decided tomorrow I'm no longer going to pray, I'm no longer going to read, I'm no longer going to worship, I'm no longer going to attend church, every bit of progress that I have seen and experienced in my life, I will quickly find out it was not me. I was the man that God found, and I will quickly return to the man He found me as. That's inevitable. Because within me, I have a love for my bondage. That was my natural state. That's why that man has to die every day. He has to be crucified. I have to deliver myself through Christ from who I used to be and allow Him to show me who He sees me as. Yes. When we are born, I don't believe Adam and Eve understood what they were about ready to unleash. I really don't. I don't know what the lake of fire truly is. I don't need to experience it to know it's bad. You have got me convinced. I have asked God, how bad is it? He got my attention one night. Worst pain I've ever had, kidney stone, just under needing surgery, which means it scraped out as much of me as it possibly could for 36 hours. And in the middle of that, the Lord decided to speak to me. And He let me know, you've asked how bad it is. I want you to know they wouldn't even notice this pain. It's kind of like when they say a woman in labor wouldn't feel you stubbing her toe. They wouldn't feel this. He told me, how bad is it? He said, it's the worst place I could think of. Now, if you and are all-knowing and all-powerful, and you tell me you can't think of a worse place, I believe you. And I don't want to go there. But people are born into sin. and they're dragged by their bonds to share a prison sentence with the devil. I find that amazing. I don't love my enemy enough to share your prison sentence. Like, I know the snitches get stitches, but you know what? That's you. You rebelled. This was created for you. Why are you trying to drag me there? You're awful. But our slavery has our own personal flavor, because often we pick the cell. You are driven away by your own lusts. My desires, I want to pick the chains. And sometimes, for some people, they really love the chains as long as they can be made of gold. But what we need to know is that in this, the only one that could ever get us through this life is Jesus Christ. And that's it. There is something about this world that is awful. It is. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. But there is something within each person, whether they believe this or not, that looks at the world and recognizes in quiet times there is something wrong with this place. This isn't how it should be. Even when we have people who have ideologies that are completely different and radical from our own, they are looking at the world, deciding this is not how it should be, and they have come to their own conclusion what it should become. And they are doing everything they can to try and shift the world into that vision. Because inherently, we know this is not what this life was supposed to be, and most people can't explain why. And the reason for it is because you are unaware of your bondage. You deny God, and therefore you deny the problem of sin. And now, I can't fix a problem until I'm willing to recognize there's a problem. And the problem is that I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. Like I said, if I stop, that's where I'm going. I'm not actively sinning, but I have no illusions that all the righteousness, that's His. I came into this with none. Everything I've gained is from Him. But when we look at our God, we have to understand how amazingly merciful He is. Most people wait till the cross to see mercy. I see it in the garden. When they messed up and they disobeyed and they sinned against God, it did not change God's desire to walk with them. In He came walking. If God wanted to destroy, He could have. If God wanted to judge, He could have. And He didn't need to walk to show up so that He knew what was wrong. He could have killed them the moment they tasted it. But our God knew exactly what was going to happen and knew that He was the solution from the very beginning. What we have is a world that wishes to be delivered without Christ. And I stand and declare it to be impossible. In the military, I have a fondness for the military. I have a great fondness for special forces. But it might shock you to know that special forces suffer the most from PTSD. Makes sense, right? Most combat tours, most combat experienced, most problems coming home. But I've served with those men. I've been around those men. I've had to provide security for those men. You cannot convince me this is a mental problem. Those are mentally some of the toughest people you will ever encounter. They don't know how to quit. They don't know when pain should make them stop. They don't know when to stop pushing. There's a recorded documentary of a man going through Hell Week on the SEAL teams with a fracture in his leg and having to crawl on the beach. And the instructors were so impressed that this man is moving with a broken leg, they gave him time to crawl. They wouldn't let him quit because, hey, he's still going. We like that. But then you're going to tell me that these men, somehow, through the most intense training, become bound in their mind to something that's mental. I don't think so. That's spiritual. Because these men went into battle unguarded in their spirit. They were mentally prepared. They were physically prepared. What they were not ready for was the Spirit to come and enslave them. I know because I've had it happen. It is a prison of darkness that you cannot find the door out of, even though you can logically think your way out of it. Why should I be depressed about this? Why should I be angry? I could go through all the events. I could sit there and, well, he got shot. Well, if I would have done this, yeah, but that's in hindsight. I could go through logically. We went through our sectors. We cleared this way. We would have done it like that 99 times out of 100. This was the way to do it. But I'm stuck. I'm having nightmares. Because I'm bound. Everybody has their chains. Some get bound by addiction. And it is bondage. That's why we as Christians, when an addict comes in and is truly delivered, and I'm not talking AA now. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But I'm talking about deliverance. AA does not deliver. What they do is they unshackle you and you sit in the prison and you call yourself an alcoholic for 20 more years wondering if today is the day that the Goliath comes back to claim me. That's not deliverance. That's a prisoner. You just have yard time. You're outside of your solitary. You get to walk around. But you are still enslaved to that every day. My God has walked with me to where I get to hand things over. I'm not a slave to what I had. I'm not a slave to my desires. He delivered me from what I had to endure. And if I wish, I could walk away and he will gladly give it back. You want to carry this by yourself, by all means. It didn't work out well the first time. There's no one in here that is going to look that knows a backslider and say, well, they're doing better than when they were here. That's not a testimony I've ever heard. But when an addict is delivered, addiction goes down so deep into the brain, it wires right to the place of necessity. Right in the spot where breathing takes place. So if you want to know what an addict is dealing with, hold your breath. And then tell yourself, don't breathe. And then realize that's what you're telling them to do. This is what they're experiencing in their body. This is that anxiety. This is that desire that's coming up. It's at that level. And so when God delivers, we as the church need to understand the chains that He just broke within their mind. How He renewed their mind. He literally healed their brain. When we look at the Bible, we can see that for a period of time, Israel was enslaved in Egypt. Joseph was sent there courtesy of his brethren. Now, I would argue that this is not the first time the brethren did that. Because when their sister Dinah was sexually assaulted, they went and said, why don't you get circumcised? And so they used covenant to betray. But the moment you entered into covenant, you're now my brother. And they had a penchant. They had an aptitude for destroying their brethren. Their first thing was, let's kill them. Not let's beat them up. Not let's give them a wedgie, a wet willy. Let's kill them. Like, wow. I mean, I've been angry before. But goodness. Like, that's escalating. To where the reasonable person is, let's send them into slavery. Really? That's the cool head coming through, huh? Okay. And on he goes. Only for them to end up in Egypt themselves. Now, when Joseph's father comes down and he dies, they sit there and they say, well, we're going to have to go bury my dad. And the Pharaoh's, yeah, go. And off they go, all of them. I don't read anywhere the Lord told them to come back. I don't read anywhere where they asked. Nobody prayed. Where I was sent to for a purpose, I now grew comfortable. And you will find the enemy loves to sneak chains on you in your comfort. That when he springs the attack, all of a sudden we're in trouble. Because, make no mistake, I believe religion peddles in one of the worst types of spiritual slavery there is, which is the bondage of self-righteousness. I'm not speaking against church. I'm talking about when you get a hold of religion, a Pharisaical mentality, of that I can come up here, we could have new people coming in, and I would stand up here, I thank God that I'm not like other men. Boy, we're not like the world. Really? He's not. I very much am. The fact that I can declare that I am exactly like the world and that now I am different from the world is a testimony to what he does, not what I do. We need to know that our God is the only one that delivers. The Pharisees were so caught up in their own self-righteousness that they questioned, why would you sit with sinners? And the Lord would answer, the sick need a doctor. And let me tell you about the bondage of self-righteousness. You hear that, and you don't think you're one of them. Oh, I don't need him. Church, we're in a dangerous place when I can come in to this house and believe somehow I need him less today than when I came in not knowing him. Oh, well, I'm better. No. I just know him better. That's why there's fruit, is because I am abiding in the vine. The branch produces nothing. You don't abide in me, you have no fruit. So I don't get to claim what's being produced in my life as if this branch was so great. This is why it's coming to fruition. No, the vine is so great that he allowed a branch that should have been thrown into the fire to be grafted in and start to bear fruit. When we look at this, there's a mentality that happens within slavery. It's one that is taking place in the world, and I believe it is biblical. It is biblical. When Israel came out, Israel never prayed to God. Go read Exodus. They cried to Moses. They cried to Moses. It doesn't say the people cried to the Lord. And in fact, when they were going into the wilderness, God was now revealing, you thought it was merely the Pharaoh that was your problem. He was the one that stopped you from going. You're the one that's stopping you from walking. No, I won't give permission to go. Now that you have permission to go, what's your excuse now? You're in the wilderness to find you. You are your biggest problem. I face no greater enemy than the one that looks me in the mirror. That man, if left unchecked, if left to do as he desires, will destroy my salvation, will destroy my family, will destroy everything I have, and will look around with a pity party going, what happened? Why'd this happen to me? Because you're a fool. That's why. Proverbs focuses on the wise man enough to know that I'm not him. I'm the other one. I'm naturally a fool. Wise man knows when to be quiet. I don't. Have to work on that. But church, as they entered in, they started to sit here. And they started to complain and they say, we remember the fish. We remember what we had. Isn't it amazing that as you start to come into Christ, you remember the things that you no longer can have? and no longer focus on what God took you out of? Well, you don't have taskmasters. You don't have people whipping you anymore. You don't have people destroying your family. See, it amazes me that people sit here and look at Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, into the name of Jesus Christ. But we refuse to see that the enemy desires baptism as well. The Pharaoh said, take your children and baptize them into death. I want to kill your future. I want to kill your strength. And the only thing that I'll leave you with is what I am able through my relationship to change their name and birth what I want them to birth. I have no doubt that God desires my kids. And I have no doubt that the enemy does too. But if I wish to reside in Egypt, I need to know who I'm handing them to. There's no escape from that. Because if you as a father, if you as a mom are not willing to kill the Goliath, he will be there for your kids. There are things that I have had to grow up with that I am purposing to fight and kill every day so that when my kids grow up, they do not understand what it's like to be raised as I was. That needs to die. But if I'm not willing to kill things in Christ, I will let Satan kill the things of Christ in me. You know you can tell that you're a slave because a slave owns nothing. They own nothing. You are in spiritual bondage when you used to have peace, but you don't anymore. You used to have hope, but you don't anymore. You used to have rest, but you don't anymore. Everything that I read, God is, I don't have it. That is an indicator. That is an indicator. I'm enslaved right now, and I may not know it. And you can sit here and tell me, well, I'm going through a trial. Me too. Bible says we all get to. Is it not fun? But don't tell me that your trial gets to dictate your attitude when we have the epistle written to the Philippians by a man facing execution talking about the joy of the Lord. And the reason I believe he's able to do that is because Brother Hernandez, he taught this principle and I never understood it. I really didn't. He said, you keep trying to get God to come down, but for this, God needs you to come up. Come up what? What does that mean? Come up in prayer? Do I need to step it up? Do I need to step up my fasting, step up my reading? But if you look at Israel, while the chains came off, they never shed their slavery mentality because their entire walk in the wilderness was one of nothing but need. They went from need to need to need. They would have a need, they would grumble. They'd have a need and they'd complain. And listen to me. It's complaining when you do it amongst each other. It's prayer and handing it over when you're doing it to Him. Lord, I'm talking to you first. That's not complaint. That's just casting my cares. Let's not pretend that I'm not having a hard time right now. You know. I know. I can cast this at your feet. But they went and they didn't understand what God was doing. And can we not grasp the concept of a slavery mentality if my entire walk with Christ is based solely on my needs here? Oh, well, he's moving with me. Oh, well, he's covering me. Have you entered into the promise? Because that mentality doesn't enter into promise. You know why? Because they gave an evil report. And it says in Numbers that the evil report was of the land. It wasn't of the enemy. Because they asked, tell me if the enemy is strong or not. And they told him, he's stronger than us. That wasn't evil. But when they sat there and they said, the land will devour its inhabitants. Another way to translate that is it won't produce for people. It won't do as he said it would. This promise is not worth fighting for. How many people in their trial, and I don't want you to raise your hands, have questioned if this is worth what I'm going through? That is a mentality that has to be shed, that only God can deliver you from, that will enslave you to stay in a place of, oh, let me just get manna. Let me never bear fruit. Let me bear in a tent, but never see what was built for me to occupy. Let me just walk around in the desert and never see what was sown for me to gather and show my kids. And all the while, well, we're his people. But church, there is something that strikes my heart when I allowed the devil to walk me into things that I didn't want to walk into more willingly than I'm willing to walk with God into the things he desires. Why? Because not everything is an escalator and a bed of roses. It can be a bed of roses, but I found there's a lot of thorns. And the truth is every trial is necessary to reveal something that I'm not seeing about him, and often to reveal something I'm blinded to about myself. Because God said, I have overcome. The Lord came to get us through this life, not to make us fall in love with this world that he's trying to fight to get us to heaven. I'm not saying you can't be blessed. We are blessed. I don't care if you only got two pennies to rub. If you got the Holy Ghost, you are abundantly blessed. We know that in Jude, Brother Hernandez, he taught me something. He said, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. He sat there and he taught me. He said, do you know that chains were created by heaven for the enemy? They're the ones that are supposed to wear them. But the chains abide in darkness. And Jesus says, if your eye be dark, then the whole body is. And when I allow the darkness in me, I allow an enemy to bring chains. And it's vicious. Vicious. Because only the light will break it. And I am not a light unto myself. I am there to shine His light, to get myself out of the way and let Him shine. In Isaiah 14:12, we see the slave mentality. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Here's the condition. Here it is. He was ministering, he was walking, he was anointed, he was not in relationship. And all of a sudden, he told himself some of the most dangerous words you can ever say. In verse 13, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will. Five times that's repeated. I will exalt. I will. I will. I will. What happened to thy will? When the thy turns into I, you can see where it's leading you. Falling from the place you were meant to be. We know that this is something. I was in prayer over this, and God, He told me something that kind of shocked me. The America right now is using antidepressants at the greatest rate it's ever used them. Now, there are those that need antidepressants. It is meant to chemically balance your brain. I used to go into a depression, really bad depression. And when they take my blood, all my levels would drop to almost zero. They'd have to give me a high dose to basically kick my brain and be like, do your job. And it would start producing again, and I feel a little bit better. But I was talking to my counselor, and he said, you know what depression is? He said, it's not sadness. I said, oh, I beg to differ. I said, it feels more like hopelessness. He said, it's not. He said, depression is anger. But it's not directed outward, it's directed inward. It's the result of you self-loathing and attacking yourself. And so people are taking these antidepressants. And I was praying, and the Lord, He brought this to mind because I was on such strong medications, 32 different ones, to where the psychiatrist said, would you like to try something else? What would you like to try? And I looked at him, I said, at this point, you're not a doctor, you're a drug dealer. Well, that kind of ended our relationship. He didn't appreciate that. If I can tell you what I want and you're just going to write it for me, well, hey. But those antidepressants, the Lord stirred on me. He said, do you know why so many are requiring antidepressants? He said, no. He said, because the church has been praying for revival. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Why are they requiring these? Why are they seeking these out? Because they are awaking and their life is empty. There is a hole, there is a hurt, there is an unsatisfaction. And instead of trying to find what is missing, it is easier to grab a pill and go back to sleep. It is easier to numb than it is to deal with it. The reason so many have been needing this medication is because God is trying to wake them out of the sleep of death. God is trying to shake the chains off of them. I want this to be an encouragement of your prayer. We see effects and we start to think, oh, well, it's not, our prayer's not doing anything. We see the world and how the world is upset, how this world is moving in an opposite direction. And yet I would declare that what is happening in this world is because the church is praying. And the things that are taking place are waking people up to something is wrong. Something is not right. And listen to me. As much as I don't care about politics, I know I go off of biblical. Either you're biblically sound or you're not on your policies. The people don't need a president. They need a savior. We don't need a president. We need a king. And we need God to appoint, and he has, not as what would benefit us, but what is benefiting them to bring them here. Because they're slaves, and they don't even know it. It's a prison they're not even aware of. And God is doing everything he can to make them wake up. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word know, Adam knew Eve. This is not here. This is an intimate. It has to move. When I interact with it, when I allow the truth to know me, to unveil myself, that God, he will get us to the end. There is no chain. There is no demon in hell. There is no addiction or oppression or deception that can stand before the glory of our Lord, because the slaves can be delivered. Amen? All right. Be sure to greet one another. And here in 10 minutes, we are going to praise our deliverer. Amen.